So, good morning, everyone. It's always a relief when the person says what you're speaking on is actually what you're speaking on. So, yes, this morning I am speaking about the subject of service. And I suppose I come this morning quite humbly, really, to a church that serves, got a high level of service. I think it was witnessed last Sunday after the Easter service. It was just an amazing effort from everybody just picking in and just putting things away. It just happened. So I come this morning hoping to bring something of an insight maybe that God has given me that can encourage you in this practice. And I think as I've been going through practicing the way, the teaching, the work, the small group stuff, which I must admit, our small group had a fab time going through the presentations and having a discussion and thinking about it. Read the book, the preachers as well, a number of preachers that have come out of the church where Mark John Comer was preaching this series. It's been great. And I think I've been just learning that God wants me to change some of my lifestyle. He wants me to change it. And you know, it's not all in one big go. It's just in little bits, it's time by time. And I think it's encouraged me to go deeper. But as I've gone through it, and I'm always quite a practical person, so doing service is quite a good thing for me to speak on. But the underlying purpose of all this is simple. Love God. Love people. And these practices are about getting to that. Love God, love people. And we read it in Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40, that Jesus says, the greatest commandment. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with the question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Everything hangs on these two commandments. And if we remember that, we can't go wrong. Everything hangs on that. And as I read UCB recently, it's not about us trying to love God more. We can't do that. It's about us using these practices for us to get a deeper revelation of God so that we understand how much he loves us. And through that, we then love him more. And it goes round that circle. God loves us, and the more we understand that, we will love God. It's really, really, that for me has been something that I've been really, really learning. And I think as I've looked through the teaching and listened to the many preachers that we've had on different aspects, it's about making it personal for me. How should I shape and transform my life with each of these practices and be more like Jesus? How do I outwork the calling that God has given me through these practices, and particularly this morning I'm going to think about service? And I've recognised the interrelationship. And I think this really comes out with service. You don't just jump into being a person with a service lifestyle. You've got to know Jesus first. You've got to be with Jesus, which is the first element of our teaching. Whether that's through prayer, the Sabbath, solitude, it's that intimacy. And through that, we then become more like Jesus. We're changed. And from that, we can then be a people that go out and do the things that Jesus did. And that's where service fits in. So it's a whole package thing, really. Service, you just can't do service, I don't think, in a God-centered way without knowing your Creator and what he wants from us. So what is service? The definition of service within Practicing the Way can simply be summed up as seeing a need and then acting to help or to do something for someone. And it usually involves someone else's interests at the heart of it. So take the story that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan, reading from Luke 10, 33 to 35. And Jesus was saying, "But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring out oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. As you can see, serving is about seeing a need and then doing something about it. I'm sure when you were out in Zambia, as we were talking this morning, there was so much need. And it's really difficult sometimes when you see so much need to know what to do. And that's where you need the Holy Spirit to direct you and lead you to what difference you can make. Otherwise, it just becomes overwhelming. And I think just something's just popped into my mind, but it's not in my notes, but there we go. I've got that mic. So I think one of the things when I became a Christian many, many years ago, and I was at Ashton Gate Stadium and Billy Graham was preaching, and I think at that point in time I was just overwhelmed by the need. What could I do? And I just couldn't fathom, and I just wasn't at peace. And I think when I heard Billy Graham say, well, you just need to find God and let God do the rest. And I think going back, I'm a doer. I've always been a doer, and therefore the thing I've been learning through this practice is I've got to be first to be able to do. And I think service comes out of that relationship. So I think the other thing that service is much more than just it's seeing the need, but it's sometimes seeing it in our local community, but also on a global scale. And I think seeing that need is really important. I'm one of those people that Edson laughs at me sometimes, because I can, if I'm on a mission, I'm very focused. Like, I've got blinkers, okay. And I can't see. I can walk out the door, and the neighbours have got a green door now. Who wants a green door? But they've got a green door, okay? I didn't notice it. And Ed said, have you seen the neighbour's green door? No, I hadn't seen the neighbour's green door, because I wasn't looking, I wasn't seeing. And I think what God is saying for service, we've got to see the need. And that's when we need to just slow down. Slow down and listen. So service sometimes gets from that position of seeing the need, of being listening to God's heart, and just really feeling what he's saying to you. What is he saying to you? And that might mean, actually, you need to drop some things to pick up other things. It may be you need just a change in to do something in a different way. But we've got to see, we've got to have God's eyes to see what the need is that he wants us to pick up. And we've been listening to a lot of quotes from Bonhoeffer following the film that came out of his amazing life and his sacrifice. And as well as his witness and teaching on justice, he also taught that powerfully on the cost of discipleship. And he urged Christians not to settle for cheap grace. And he wrote that, costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of a man will gladly go and sell all that he has. It is costly because it costs a man his life. And it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. And there is something about service which is a sacrifice and it is a cost. Whether you're working in the local community and meeting the needs that you see around you, whether that's the homeless or poverty or food bank, whatever that is, whatever you're doing, or whether it's on a more global scale. One of the things a lady I follow is Christine Kane, and she's got a she's an American Christian preacher. She preaches, but she's also got a hand in freeing people from modern slavery. So if you pick up on her Insta, she will be saying these people have been freed from modern slavery this week, whether it's through prostitution, whether it's through slavery involved to work. That's her. That's what God has called her to challenge injustice. Okay, that's more on a global scale. So wherever we are, service is all shapes and sizes, okay? We all do it differently, but it's what God is calling each one of us to do. That's the important thing. We need to go and work that through in the way that God wants us to work that through and serve. But we need to sometimes slow down and listen. And I think one of the things I've been learning through this series is I need to give myself more space. Not sure I've achieved it yet. Not sure I've quite achieved it yet, but I need to give myself some space to do the things that God wants me to do rather than what maybe I think I should be doing. And that is something I need to work through. I'm a real work in progress, I'm sure we all are, but I really feel this series has really challenged me to look at many things, not to come down on myself, but to think, how can I do that better? How can I be a disciple of Jesus? And an apprentice, I think, I'm going all over, my notes are in here somewhere, but anyway, an apprentice, when I'm at work, an apprentice is a short time. It's a time-limited role where you work through some training and you come to the end of it and then you get a specific role and you've got a title. But for a Christian, an apprentice, we're always an apprentice. We're always learning. We're always doing things to become like Jesus, to be with him, to do as he did. And I think that apprentice role is something we're all called to do and to be like Jesus. And I think in Lectio over the last few weeks, I read this. It said, all throughout Scripture we see the Holy Spirit regularly empowering the work of justice and mercy. Consistently we find the people of God being drawn to those in need and in pain. And Teresa of Anver said, Christ has no body but yours. Go and be Christ's body to the world. If that's not a call to service, That is what we are called to do. So there's lots of things we could do, but it's finding the God-given thing that he's asked you to do. And it's sacrificial. It will cost us, whether it's time, money, energy, whatever that is. So what are some of the myths or barriers we put up against service? And I'm sure there's many things that we could think about here, but I just wanted to go through a few. You don't have to be qualified to serve, okay? You don't have to get the training certificate, go on all the courses. You just serve where God is showing you to do. Whatever that is to do, whether it's use of your money, your time, your service, your skill. Every day, for me, I say, is a learning day, whether it's work or at home. Every day is a learning day, and I'm always looking to learn what God is wanting to show me about service. I think if I look at some of the things I've done over the last many years, one of the things I was involved in for over 20 years was riding for the disabled, and I'd spend some time on a Saturday, go up and help at a local riding stable, and I've brought up with horses, so I knew how to manage horses, but I didn't know how to manage disabled children on horses. That was a completely different role, and I had to learn how to do it the best way, the safe way to help those young people to get the most from their riding. And some of those young people were really challenging. I can remember one young lad, it was a job to keep him on the horse sometimes, but when you could get him engaged, he loved it. But those sort of roles, I had to learn, I had to be humble, I had to learn how to do that and do that service. I think one of the things I've learned in the church is how to do setup on a Sunday. I think if I went back many, many years, I thought, I'll never be able to do that. I don't know what wire to plug into what hole. I'll wreck the process. And but now, thanks to Pete, and he has set the setup now, is so, so much simpler. Even I'm able to learn and how to plug the right leads into right holes to get the right noise coming out. Well, hopefully, anyway. Usually miss one, which is always a joy. But I had to learn. I think you just don't have to be qualified. Just give it a go sometimes. And you don't need to be at the top of your scale. You can sometimes just start with the basics. Really just start with the basics. Give it a go. See what you learn. You never know. I don't know how ever I got involved in children's work, to be honest, many, many years ago. But I just gave it a go. I gave it a go. I found I wasn't very good with babies, I must admit. So I didn't stay long in the creche. That was place wasn't for me. But young four upwards, 4 to 8, 9, that group, I really was able to connect with and really serve. But I got no experience with children. It wasn't my background, but I just gave it a go. And it's amazing what God can do when he's got a willing person and a person that will just do what he asks them to do. And, you know, we don't have to be in the right place with God to serve. You can actually be feeling pretty lousy, but still able to serve God. it's a really interesting, and I think as I look back, some of the times I've served most is when I've actually really been quite sort of low, I suppose would be a good word to use. But what it does, it takes you out of yourself and your problems, and it places you in a place where you can give to other people. And as you do that, it changes you. It lifts you up, because it actually gives you confidence, and it really does change you. So I encourage you, don't feel that you have to be right with God to be able to serve. In fact, it will help you as you do serve. And the conditions don't have to be perfect. Just give it a go and fill a gap. Is it optional? No. This is what said in Mark 10. Not so. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are all called to serve. Whatever form that is, that's between you and God. But God calls us to serve. So how do we make service a lifestyle? I suppose the first thing, and we've already mentioned it this morning, Nikki mentioned it, we need to find the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to empower us to have that intimacy. We need to get that intimacy with God, to deepen our relationship through him and through all the other practices that we've been learning about. They all come as a package that helps us to serve with the right heart. And what about our motives? That's really sometimes where the rubber hits the road. I don't know about you, but I like to be served as well. There's nothing like when we've gone abroad to a hotel and you've got the choice of a buffet service, or you've got the choice of sitting down to a restaurant table and getting served. It's so much more relaxing to sit and get served, isn't it? It's a much more maybe an enjoyable experience. Although the buffet can be quite an experience as well. But there's something about being served, and there's nothing wrong with being served. And I think it's getting the right balance. That's important. But sometimes do we resent serving? Are our motives right? Or do we resent it? Why me? Why have I got to do that? It can be hard. You can get bitter. And I think, or is it about the status? If I serve, I'll get that particular status. But is it about love and compassion for people? Your humility, your passion. Actually, you're grateful for what others have done for you, so you are able to serve as well. It starts in the heart. And if I go back and I think about my family background, a hard-working family working on a farm, doing bed, breakfast, evening meal, but also serving in the community, supporting the local school, village hall, church, chapel, whatever it was. My mum and dad were always involved. They'd always be the last there, sweeping the floor. It's no wonder I feel quite comfortable, isn't it, sweeping the floor here, because that's what I was brought up doing, was being there and doing. And again, as I've said earlier, real tension for me is being rather than doing, because in my DNA, what I was brought up was to do. That's what I saw my parents do. That's what I saw all my relatives do. It was to do. Stopping and being was something I think we all struggled with. So what's our motives? We need to examine our motives, why we serve. Because that is what sometimes means that actually we can do it with joy. Okay. And we need to be surrender and be willing to do what God wants us to do. It can be sacrificial, but through serving, we can really change the world. Through the little bit we do, whatever that is, we can change the world. We're changing the world in Zambia. We're changing the world in Zambia for those young people who are going to that school and getting an education. And it's little things that we do our part, we can make a real difference. And we need to be open. We need to have our eyes open to God to see, God, what are you showing me that you want me to do? To serve you and to serve the people. And you know, every day there are new opportunities that come our way if we're looking with God's eyes. And we need to ask God to show us. Not as I'm sometimes blinkered and on a mission. I need to stop and open my eyes and see what God is saying and doing, whether that's through the people I meet at work, whether it's giving them the time just to sit down and just serve them with a listening ear. That can be so important as well. To be flexible. We need to be flexible. I'm not very good at people interrupting my plans. I get a plan and that's what I like to keep to, but often that doesn't work, I'm afraid. And I have to learn to be flexible and do what I need to do and really give people what they want. You see, we need to start changing our ways to where God is going. We can't hold on to outdated plans. God is really moving at the moment. I see it all around. God is moving. And is there something we need to change to move with him? You see, God wants to break in. God does want to break in. He wants to touch people's lives. My heart is to see people come to know him, to love him, to have the hope that I have. And sometimes it's hard. I think if you remember going to BCC, who remembers church cleaning at BCC? Oh yeah, a few of you do. It was hard. It was a labor of love. It really was. And I must admit, of all the tasks that I had to do, that must probably was a labor of love. It was a small team. For you, there was a small team. You go together, you clean the church building, you clean the buildings we use for children's work. And if all the team turned up and they really went for it, you could do it really quickly. But if two of you turned up, it was going to be hard work. We needed all the grace that God had given us. But I tell you what, though, if you got a great team and you had a bit of fun, it was fine. And you know, service, fun and service do go together. And actually, when you have fun and when you serve, it's the best thing, because your joy comes out as well. Because God wants us to serve with joy, because we're doing it from a heart that's from his. And we have to live this, okay? Service doesn't start here and stop. It's a lifetime. It's a consistent service. Are you playing your part? Can people count on you to do the bit that you've been called to do? And be where the need is. If you want to see things, you need to be where the need is. You need to go, maybe go for that walk and see and ask God. Be where the need is. And I've said before, sometimes we just need to slow down and listen to what God is saying through those moments of solitude and silence and Sabbath, fasting, prayer and scripture. We need to be asking God, what is it you're showing us at this time? And really just on this is, know the season you're in. Certain seasons you can be busier than others because of your commitments, and be at peace in that season. So the season for me is at the moment, I go down and see my dad who's in a care home, and I feel I need to go down at least once a month, if not twice. So that wipes out my whole Saturday, because he lives in Devon, so that will take me, leave maybe at 7, and we'll come home maybe by 9 or 10 o'clock at night, time I've seen everybody. So I know that I can't do as much as I used to be able to do on a Saturday, and I have to plan so that I can build things in. So my family commitments for me at the moment are really, really important. But for other people, your season may be different, and you need to build your season and accept where God has put you at this point in time. And then just moving on, really, and I wanted to just reflect a little bit about my journey of my role in the church and the service that has really brought me to, really, I suppose, and where I'm at and what God is saying to me. So I never aspired to be a leader. Never aspired. I'm not sort of one that's been sort of career ambitious. I just do what God has said to me to do, and I move to the next thing God has called me to do. But I think when we went to New Wine last year, God did a bit of a reset to me. He started tackling some of the fears that was holding me back, and I wanted more of God. And I suppose there's a real tension I was feeling between a real sense of urgency but not striving, being at peace. And I thought, God, how can I marry this tension anyway? So I was talking to God a lot that week. And during the week, I went to a session talking about being a new wine trustee. So I thought, oh, I'll go along. I'll be quite interested. That could be quite an interesting role, and being chair of trustees for the church. I thought, let's go and see. And it was really interesting. It was really interesting to hear just the way they were working as new wine and some of the challenges they're experiencing. But I came away from that, and I felt it must probably wasn't the right time for me to do something like that. But I did feel, what I did learn was actually trustees usually have a term of appointment. We'd, within our trustees group, we'd stayed, and we hadn't really moved around within our roles as trustees or moved other people in and out. And I really began to think about that, and Rich brought it up in one of our leaders, trustees and leaders meetings, and I thought, if we're going to change and move on, maybe I just need to step down and do something different. Maybe that's my time. And that's what I did. I thought, right, God, that's what you're calling me to do at this time. I don't know why, but that's what I felt was right. Struggled with it a little bit because I lost my identity. So what was I going to do? Just be a member of the church, not be a leader, not be a trustee. And after a while, I thought, that's great, God. What are the opportunities you're now going to give me? What are you going to let me to do that I maybe couldn't do before? So in one thing, I was thinking about identity. Other thinking, I was about thinking about opportunity. And that's what service gives you sometimes if you get a bit of freedom. But it wasn't long in Unplugged in October. I really felt empowered by the Holy Spirit and started praying and bringing God's word at that meeting. And I can remember it very clearly. I felt a real shift in my spirit. And it was interesting at that time because Kim gave me this word. And it said, it's from Philippians 1:6. It said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And you know, that was the same word that I was given on my baptism in March 85, nearly 40 years ago. So it stirred my spirit a bit in that morning. And you see, God prepares us for things he's got for us to do in advance, even if we think we're not ready. And God has been speaking to me about what he requires of me. And I want to link this really with some of the things in practicing the way and service really. So the first one is be with Jesus. And that the word that he spoke to me really was about surrender. As I've said before, service is about surrender. And if I go back over a year ago, October, a few of us went to the Orchards Women's Conference in Birmingham. And you know when you have those times maybe when God speaks to you and it's so clear, you almost sit down and say, is somebody speaking to me aloud? And this is what he said is, what would your life or my life be like if it was completely surrendered to God? And it really did make me stop and think, what would my life be if it was completely surrendered to God? Boy, that was a challenge, and it's still one I will always be outworking, really. So to be with Jesus, for me, is about surrender. And I must admit, at times, that's tussles, if I'm honest. But when I surrender and give it to God, I know I'm in the right place. The second one we've been thinking about in these elements is become like Jesus. And again, in service, the word that came to me was humility. I get things wrong, I'm sure some of you do as well, but I get things wrong, and I know if I'm humble, I'm more likely to find a way through and accept, ask God for his forgiveness to help me through. And I also recognize through that humility how awesome God is, because he forgives me, and I'm so grateful as well. I know when I'm humble at work, things are much easier than when I'm, I suppose, forthright or whatever. But humility goes a long way, because sometimes at work you don't see humility. And when you do, it shows you that you're most probably different to other people. And we read in Philippians 2, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, becoming made in human likeness. So that's what Jesus did. He was humble. He served. And the third element is do what Jesus did. For me, the word coming up for me was loving people. It was interesting, when I was mulling over becoming a leader, Dave and Nick, they asked me why I thought I should become a leader, and quite right too, why should I become a leader? And my response was, God has given me a deeper love for the people. It was really interesting. God, I suddenly felt a love for all you guys that I'd never felt before. And that just really, really touched me. But also God spoke to me, and again, he spoke to me really clearly. If you love people, you'll do amazing things. Have compassion. See people how God sees them. So again, like I say, I'm a work in progress and I don't get it all right, but that's what God has spoken to me about. And my heart is to serve God, but I'm not perfect. I'm really not perfect. So if I get it wrong, please give me the grace to get it right next time, maybe. So in conclusion, as it says in John 13:14-17, we are all called to serve. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. You see, service is linked to all the other practices, but it has the purpose of loving God and loving people. Every day we should look for those opportunities to serve, to both give and to receive. Start where you are. Do the little things that God's calling you to do. As we've learned, practicing the ways, doing the little things, doing the little changes, that adds all up. But it will cost you. But it will change you. And it will change the world. And it will change the world. And it will pull the kingdom of heaven down to earth. And I often wonder, where I'm at work, where I am, if I bring God's influence into that situation, what would that place be like if I wasn't there? What would your place where you are, whether that's work, home, what would it be like if you weren't bringing that godly influence there? Because we bring heaven to earth every single day when we've got the right heart of God. But it will cost us. It will cost us. And as Jesus said, we will be blessed as we serve. But through service, we will love people and love God. And finally, just as I finish, I think I've been quite touched by the things that have been said about Pope Francis, and how he was a man of the people. Maybe he didn't start off like that, but that's where God brought him. And just the way that things have been done, most probably this time, that's been different. And I just love that prayer that his grandmother taught him, a 7-word prayer that I think applies to all of us as we go. Jesus, make my heart more like yours. Amen.